Welcome to Innovation in the Burg, a podcast about innovation in St. Petersburg. If you're a self-described science or technology geek, or even if you aren't, this will be a fun and informative conversation. I'm Allison Barlow, Executive Director of the St. Pete Innovation District. Each podcast, I am joined by a local expert who will talk about what they're working on. But to make sure we keep this in perspective and don't become too technical, we have a community member joining us. Our hope is that you learn something new and enjoy our conversation. Let me introduce today's guest. Our expert is Mr. Carl Lavender. Carl is the Chief Engagement and Advocate Officer at the Foundation for a Healthy St. Petersburg. In this role, he guides community investments, including grants, partnerships, and program design in alignment with the Foundation's mission of racial and health equity. He also has a key role in the community engagement work at the Center for Health Equity. The center serves as a new resource for people and organizations in Pinellas County to pursue opportunities for positive social change and address pressing local problems that impact community health and well-being. Our community member is Dr. Cynthia Johnson. Cynthia is the director of the Florida Small Business Development Center at Pinellas County Economic Development. She's a champion for entrepreneurship in our community. I will also share that both Carl and Cynthia are involved with the Innovation District. Carl serves on our board of directors, and Cynthia is a long-term member of our council. To get us started, let me ask Carl the first question. Can you tell us a little bit about the Foundation for a Healthy St. Pete?
Yes, thank you, Allison, for having me, and of course, my very, very dear friend Cynthia on the show today. The Foundation for a Healthy St. Petersburg was founded about 7 years ago at the sale of Bayfront Hospital. And so to that end, after that sale, we were able to then make grants to the community. And as long as that community grant advances health equity, as long as that community grant advances race and health equity, then the organization would qualify, of course, for the investment. Mm-hmm. But it was an incredibly important decision because the sale of the hospital could have resulted in all kinds of things.
Right.
But the wisdom of leadership there decided to incorporate and make sure that the dollars then in perpetuity would continue to advance really smart mission in the community among nonprofit organizations. And so to that end, in the last 5 years, we've invested about $20 million in the community. One of the most sizable gifts, if you will, to the community, about $20 million. And we are somewhat restricted in that we are funding in South St. Pete primarily. We cover St. Petersburg, but our emphasis has been on South St. Petersburg. So it gives St. Petersburg nonprofit organizations, movements, systems, collaborations, and backbones, if you will, a chance to really advance smart mission.
Right.
And so to that end, the foundation being responsible for that makes us feel very, very good about what's happening there. So that's a brief history. There's a lot more technical history, I'm sure, Allison. And I've been on staff now for 15 months, so I'm sure that our leader, Randy Russell, could give you the full 411. And I encourage you to bring him back sometime. But that's the quick, if you will, of how we came to be. We were downtown behind Bayfront Hospital. We're now in the neighborhood in the CRA at 22nd and 34th Street South.
And that's the location of the new Center for Health Equity. Yes. So tell people about this, because it's a relatively new facility.
It is. We are 22 weeks old now.
Wow.
We converted an old grocery store. If you're from St. Petersburg and you're listening in, you know we converted the old Publix, Bravo, it became, at 34th and 22nd, into the Center for Health Equity. It is the first of its kind in Tampa Bay, or one of only a handful in the country that serve as a destination for all things strategic as it relates to health and race equity. So we have a safe place now you could come to and have facilitated discussion regarding how to advance really, really smart strategy. Now, we did this because over the course of our grant-making years, we could not scale to the extent necessary to really move systems change into the narrative. Because smaller nonprofits in St. Pete, most of them are smaller nonprofits.
Right. We have a lot of small nonprofits.
A lot of small nonprofits. You couldn't scale to accommodate our dollars. So you have $500,000 and you want to tackle a real serious systems issue. You couldn't scale a nonprofit here. And so to that end, we wanted to have a place where nonprofit leaders and advocates could come together and have a full-fledged conversation and debate in some cases, and discussion regarding the issue, and then allow us to then put together a smart collaboration that could be scaled. So to do that, the center is available for that. We've learned in the last 19 weeks or so, over 4,000 people have used the space.
Wow.
175 separate meetings. So we know it was necessary. So to that end, the center has a lot more history in front of it, if you will, to be made. But nevertheless, it's been an incredibly important contribution to the city right now.
It's a fantastic asset to have in this city.
Thank you very much.
And it's interesting, Cynthia, when we were prepping for this, we started to have a conversation about, you know, so much of what the foundation and a lot of the initiatives in the community are fact-based. You know, you go to the research, you go to the data, but then there's the element of lived experience. And you just had a recent experience where you were saying that the mixing of those stories.
You know, one of the things that I think would be a tremendous value added to the center is the fact that the way it's structured to bring in some real community insight into what's happening, and then to bring in the experts, bring in the community experts, and then use all of that knowledge and data to really start digging down to identify what really are the problems that our community face. I think that in doing so, I've worked with the foundation on several of the projects that they've had. And I remember the courageous conversations.
Yes.
And I've always teased Carl about courageous conversations because that one day event.
Mm-hmm. 2 days now.
It was 2 days. Yes. 2 day event was really bringing different perspectives from all over the community to talk about things that were difficult for people to discuss. But by the end of the time, we all had felt like we were in a safe space.
Yes, that's the purpose of it.
Exactly. You know, a safe space where we can, you know, say what's on our mind and then have what's on our mind be respected by the others in the room. And I think that that's where we start talking about equity. It's a matter of respecting that we all have varying opinions and experiences. It's just that collectively, what can we do for the good of all of us?
Right.
Because we're in this community together. It's not my community or Carl's community. It's our community.
We refer to it's called Courageous Conversations Regarding Race.
Right.
And it's very well facilitated for those in the audience who think that while it's a difficult subject to talk about, it's very well done. So it allows you the space to be quite candid about your childhood, about your own experiences around race, and to have that surface in really good, well-thought-out conversation makes an enormous difference. It is the final frontier for a lot of citizens that says, can we finally have a safe place for courageous conversation? And so the center has become that space for that. People are leaving their alleys and going, oh my gosh, man. I didn't know how much I didn't know.
Well, and I was in the first class of Courageous Conversations. And one of the things that stuck with me through all of it, in addition to what Cynthia said about the experience, was there was a model they shared about how you approach these topics. Do you approach it from an analytical mind? Do you approach it from your heart and your lived experience? And there were other facets to that. But that stuck with me because I think it's true for any topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, topics are not one note. And I always get frustrated when people talk about something and they're like, we were talking earlier about homelessness. And homelessness is this, right? No, homelessness has a lot of facets to it. And that's the interesting thing. I've participated in a couple of events at the center. And what I love about it, to your point, is all the different perspectives and then bringing it together.
You know, one of the things with when we start to suggest to the community that we have created a safe space where you can have conversations about race and equity, and your conversation will be, again, respected, and your conversation will be taken seriously. I think it starts to build a level of trust with the community because there hasn't always been that comfort that, okay, are we being authentic with what we say we want to do with a center? Or is this just another center for show?
Right.
And Carl knows that I kind of dig deep and I was like, okay, so how are we really going to do this?
Right, right. What's going to make this different?
If it's going to be open to the community, how are we going to help the community understand that this is a part of the community? This is not the center and you're the community. This is the community center.
Right.
And so I've got to say, I've had, at least 5 events.
At least 5 events. We are so glad that both of you, because you walk in a space in the community and in industry that is valued.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have citizens like yourselves valuing the space and its process and its culture of being safe and honest and filled with integrity is an enormous benefit to us. It is sometimes even more greater than grant making.
Yeah.
Because we're building the kind of citizenry that can be the movement, Randy always says, our leader, Randy Russell, the building of a movement of citizens beyond the grant-making side. We know that's important, folks.
But it has a certain period of time. This is really changing, like you said, the culture and the basis.
Yes.
And there was something you were talking about that connected with me, which was around the fact that, and we're sort of hinting to it, but I want to make it really apparent, you could have a meeting anywhere.
Yes.
We all do. We have them in hotel ballrooms and conference rooms and, you know,
at the college
and all this. But the difference is some of the, I'll call them ground rules or guiding principles that the center stands for, that when you go in there to have a meeting, these are must-haves.
Right. People call and ask us, the space is 15,000, I believe it's 15,000 square feet of interior space. And there's a catering kitchen, not a full, but a catering kitchen. Mm-hmm. There's a screen for video production and video. There are pods, basically called idea theaters now. You can meet in this. The curtains that surround the idea theaters is an incredible, incredible space. So when you walk in, you might think right away, ballroom,
right,
hotel auditorium, et cetera. So how do I make myself really real and authentic in a space that is exaggerated as this? That comes from our own sense of space by staff, mm-hmm. by the people who work there, that make the space then become very personal to you as a person using the center space. We get calls for wedding reception. We get calls for graduation ceremonies, et cetera. We've been declining those things. We have to have an equity lens, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the key to it going forward is, does your event have an equity lens, and does it give us a chance to talk about equity while in the midst of your discussion?
Right.
And that's a critical part of this. Cynthia knows that.
You know, Carl, one of the things that you mentioned, and you said that it was designed and it was the staff play a key component in that. I would like to really dig a little bit there on the staff, because I think that when we talk about, you know, looking through it from an equity lens, when you're talking to average citizens, equity means different things to different people.
Yeah.
And so what I have been able to experience is the diversity of staff, knowledge, areas of expertise, and what they bring to the table helps the community better adjust to when you say, what's the purpose of the center? And so it is not all things to everybody.
Right.
But there is a component of the equity in a safe space where we can have intentional discussions, where we're leading to intentional resolutions of issues that our community face. And not always issues. Sometimes we have to spend some time celebrating just the fact that the community is made of such a diverse environment, and celebrating that diversity, I think, is really displayed when I look at the art and how it was selected. And you can just see, you just have different emotions. You can see the joy. You can see the pain. Mm-hmm. You can see a revolution. You can see how the community has evolved just when you walk along the one corridor and start looking at the art and really appreciating what you see before you. I think that those kinds of things is what I want the community to understand, is that it is not happenstance that we had community representatives come and say, hey, you know, display what our pain looked like, display what joy looks like.
Yeah.
And then for the Equity Center to then take all of that and, you know, put it in their little mixing bowl and mix it up and throw it in the air.
Yes.
I think that is something that a lot of our community citizens really have not had the experience to really see, that it wasn't happenstance. It was intentional. And it was engaging. And it wasn't just the staff sitting there doing it. It's a lot of us from the community have come. And I know, Carl, you all have different platforms using your nonprofits that you support to engage them back into the community and not just grant dollars.
You know, and use the building for your continual plannings.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more curated spaces coming to the building, as you well know. And we've got the gallery there now, but there's incredible curated spaces coming that'll even enhance the mission and purpose even more. Our leader, as I said, Randy Russell, and our board chair, Kateri Jenkins Hall, have been very intentional about the use of that space and the capacity of that space to address the issues and challenges and the celebrations that the community is so much in need of. We are deliberate in that we are located in the CRA of South St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to the CRA team. We're very intentional there.
Yes.
We're in a plaza that had been challenged. The property had been closed for 5 years. We've been able to lift. You can see the difference even now, the plaza space. And tenants are saying to us, the tenants on the plaza, store owners, et cetera, are complimenting us. So then you begin to see the community lifted up by our intention. We want to be very, very clear. We want to be very, very clear. You can step into our space and see the fancy, but we want to deal with the real true issues in the community and the real true challenges. And to that end, as much as we can have those discussions, we are more than willing to have those.
But you know, Carl, one of the things that I think is beyond the fancy is the feel.
Yes.
You know, when you step into the space, how do you feel?
Yeah.
How does the space make you feel? You know, as a citizen of this community, I'll just say my mom is 90 years old.
Wow, beautiful.
And so she's been here a long time. And I want her, when I, you know, bring her to the space, I want her to feel what I feel
right.
in that space, and that I feel a certain pride that I live in a community that cares enough about what happens to the least of us that they're willing to put their time, their efforts, and their talents to making sure that we have what is necessary to make it a vibrant community for all of us.
You say 90 years old. It's incredible. And thank you to her, and compliments to her and your strong legacy for sure. Jim Oliver.
Uh-huh.
Highly respected leader in the Black community in
Absolutely.
Particular.
Absolutely.
Came by the center, and we gave him a tour. And he was telling us the history of how in that space, Black people could not access even the plaza space. They couldn't come into the original grocery stores.
Oh, interesting.
So he said to come full circle to see not only Black people using and staffing the center, but the diverse community using and staffing the center. You have folks from the downtown business community that are driving south, that are parking in our parking lot for the first time, coming into the center. So you have the beginnings of really serious community in modern times. Going into the next decade, let's moving beyond or moving past some of the dramatic issues that have held us back. We're now moving toward a much more synergistic community.
Right.
Around the goals of the city, more seamless, as they say,
mm-hmm.
challenges notwithstanding.
Right.
We're moving deliberately in that space, and having the center serve as the cornerstone for that discussion is absolutely a privilege for me to be on team. But for our leader's legacy, I think this is very, very powerful.
Well, and let me ask you, you mentioned at the intro, this is an unusual type of space.
Yes.
You don't see this in every neighborhood in every city. And you guys did a lot of research trying to find others around the country. So when we talk about the innovation element of this, tell us a little
bit. It starts with the curtains.
Yes. I mean, it's a physical manifestation.
If you've not seen the building, folks, they got the curtains. We have 6 pod areas, which we now call idea theaters, in various sizes. And they are surrounded by curtains. We deployed, opened and closed. And so it's hard to describe here on the show. But in the ceiling, we serpentine around the interior of the property so the curtains can be opened and closed to allow for you a private space. Now, why do we do that? We didn't want any jagged edges, as in most centers that have these sort of jagged edges where there's some person in charge.
Somebody at the head of the table or something
like that. We wanted round spaces. We wanted curved spaces that everybody on the table or at the table can be the leader or have the idea or feel accepted. So we were very intentional there. The idea of idea theaters is that as you're in the pod space or the theater space, talking about whatever your issues may be, planning very intentionally there, when it's opened up, there's a chance to reveal
mm-hmm.
your idea to a broader audience. So all the curtains open up to a plenary space. You can step out onto the quote-unquote life stage and share your ideas and get a response from the community. So that was very intentional on the part of the designers. Hats off to the team who did that. Because it really does give us a chance to really have some really interesting conversations immediately. When you walk in, you go right away, oh, it's not the usual center space.
Right.
Okay, now I know I'm caught up into something very different that's going to allow me to have a lot more candid conversation. And so to that end, like I said, 4,000 people have come through.
You know, I've been, you know, to the center numerous times, most of them for scheduled events. Yes. So for my fellow citizens, can we just go to the center and... You know, do we have to make an appointment to go?
Yes.
Is it open for
tours and drop-ins?
Tours yes. and drop-ins
Absolutely.
And things like that?
Yes. Call the staff and I'll give you my cell number because Marcus Brooks on our team is going to host you. 727 727-235-8113. That's my cell. Call me, 727-235-8113, and I can arrange for you to just, we tried the drop-in before, and we're trying to figure out how to best do that, because we had it opened every Friday afternoon from noon to 3 was drop-in. And we would sit there waiting for people to come by. People poke their head in for a minute. We said, oh, we're going to figure this out better. So we're trying to figure out a better way to accommodate the drop-in side of this. If you call now and make an appointment, I can be most assured to give you a great tour.
Because I think if you see the space, then it kind of unleashes some imagination
yes.
of yeah. what's possible. And it's hard. You're right. It's hard to describe this space.
On the radio, you got to see it. And behind the center is our foundation offices. So the corporation has moved its offices into the building. So we are really, really, really dedicated to this. We have about a 10-year lease here. So there's the center space and foundation together. So the synergy between the two of them is really being very effective right now.
The reason I bring that up, because the space is designed to be inclusive and welcoming. But because people have curiosity of, you know, what's that space? I haven't seen that here before. And peeking in the window. Like,
I've
hey,
been there when that's happened. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on in there? And that kind of thing. And not knowing a lot about the center, you know, it lends itself to a more strategized way to make it opening and engaging for the community. Because the last thing I want is someone to peek through the window and, you know, and see, you know, we don't have a big event going on and thinking, oh, that's just like event planning space, you know?
Right.
You know, say it a lot, yeah.
But it's not. And maybe, you know, having someone there to be that, as we say at the chamber, ambassador, if you will.
Yes.
That is so true.
That's our discussion right now about how to staff that. We tried it a few times. We got some ideas floating around because the demand is there. Now it's picking up.
Yeah.
The demand's picking up. People are being very intentional now. They're coming by.
The word is getting out.
So, yes, we want to make sure.
And, you know, this center, because it is so different and new and creative, it will evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And what it looks like today may look a little different in 6 months, and may grow into something different in a year from now. So I also think that that's kind of the fun part of it, too, is people start to have little experiences and then they build off it. I know I'm a facilitator and I facilitate in that space a couple of times. And not only the physical space and what, you know, it's a lot of fun as a facilitator to use those resources, but the conversations, you know, there were things that I had naturally done as a facilitator that then with the center staff, they're like, well, that's helping the conversation progress around equity. And I had never connected the dots.
Right.
It was literally how I had always done things. But it was good because it taught me to have another lens on my work as a facilitator. And I think that's where Cynthia was mentioning.
Right.
It's giving everybody in the audience a chance to go, oh, you know, when we have a conversation about, we always do in planning meetings, who's not at the table?
Right.
But, well, that conversation is taken a little bit differently now than I would say it had been in the past because of the lens of equity.
And we can help you. So
right.
when you ask the questions, who's not at the table? We can help you identify folks and make suggestions. We call it leaning in or leaning back. If we lean in, we can say, would you consider inviting these 7 people
right.
from our database who we know is associated with your particular mission or purpose? So it makes the center space a lot more engaging.
One of the biggest benefits is your grant recipients.
Yes.
You know, that whole nonprofit community, just leveraging all of those resources, I have found that when I think of, you know, okay, I need a solution to, let me see, a food desert, and I need to find out where can I help this client get, you know, some food. And I'm thinking, oh, let me call Marcus.
Yeah, because they know.
Let me call Marcus. And, you know, and he was like, oh, we just did this program with this organization. And I'm like, oh, perfect, you know. And so I think that just looking at all of the lives that you all have touched through the grants that you have put out there in all of those various organizations, and it's kind of like the ripple effect, you know, like you may have dropped the rock, meaning dropped the money.
That. I love that. Yes.
Yes.
You dropped the rock.
Sure.
When you drop the money, the ripple effect of the programs and then the programs and the people and the people and their children and the communities, it just keeps growing and growing. And I think that oftentimes in the community, we're in the ripple, but you got to remember somebody dropped that rock.
Yes.
And for that, I do appreciate what the foundation is doing to support the nonprofit community.
And it's only been 5 years. When you look at it, it's amazing success story. It's only been 5 years. That's all. So from the center space to $20 million of community investment, all within, we have like a little over 200 grants that we funded, a little under 100 nonprofit organizations, all of that in 5 years. It's an incredible business case
in
terms of how philanthropy, when properly deployed and scaled, what it can do. And that's the case we want to make even further for philanthropy, which I think is a critical part of any community, when properly organized. Wisdom in the community, being community-led, can make an enormous difference. And so hopefully we can galvanize more philanthropy in this space to have discussions beyond government support.
Absolutely.
How can philanthropy fuel the kinds of change at systems level that we need right now?
And I want to bring up the tie between philanthropy and business.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, you two were key in a project we initiated this fall called This Is What a Scientist Looks
yes.
Like.
Oh, yeah.
it was really, really cool. Yes.
Yeah, it was literally in an innovation district meeting that I believe Cynthia brought up, you know, we had talked a little bit notionally about the fact that we wanted to let people in our community, youth in particular, and kids from communities of color and different parts of our community, that there are jobs in science and technology and art and innovation that they may not know about. And we wanted to raise awareness. So we did a t-shirt campaign with This Is What a Scientist or Whatever Looks Like. And you had a little t-shirt. And we've done some interviews, and actually we're going to be finalizing the video with Cynthia soon.
Yeah.
But that's a great example of where you take the idea of equity and community health, but tie into business.
And you tie it into business. And I, you know, any good business owner understands the value and the importance of equity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that it is a culture in the business that's going to make it successful or not, you know. I always say changing a culture sometimes is like moving a graveyard, but
I've not heard that one.
When it has to happen, it has to happen. You know, but when you have in that same scenario, but when you have a purpose by which the change has to occur,
right?
If you handle it with care, mm-hmm. then you will be amazed at the buy-in and the engagement of others to help make that change occur. Because, Allison, when you spoke earlier about, hey, I've facilitated 1,000 discussions and I never looked at it from how equity mm-hmm. is intertwined in that. And what I have as a diversity officer and as a champion for small business and supplier diversity, I try to really create the environment that supplier diversity isn't an supplier diversity. Supplier diversity is supplier diversity. And so when we start to look at it as, oh, wow, we all need supplies. We all have diverse needs. So it's not like this special thing. It just is what it is. And when we start to make it common language to talk about equity, to talk about race, and then, you know, you don't get hot, you know, hands get sweaty when you say, oh, race, we got to talk about race.
Right.
You know, race, it is part of life. And that when we start to see race as a beautiful part of life, because I think that once we realize that, but for the diversity of all of us, none of us wouldn't be as good as we are.
So true. Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we start to really embrace that, and start to look at equity as equity means what does it mean for you to be successful? Mm-hmm. Not for me to think that this is what you need to be successful. Because for me right now, a cough drop would be something great that would make me feel good.
Right. Yes.
But, you know, for Carl, he may not need a cough drop. And so just to think that we need to just put it evenly across the board and now we're equitable. No, not so much. You may not need that, you know. So we just have to look at and make sure that if we're going to give everybody transportation and here's your bike, make sure it's the bike that I need.
Right.
That's what equity is about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about whether do I need a tricycle? Mm-hmm. Or do I need a 10-speed, as my son would say? some of us still need training wheels.
But it's so true. You
know, but when we start to look at it that way, it's like, oh, we all have a common goal. Yeah. We need to get somewhere.
That's the bottom line.
That's what we have in common. Mm-hmm. How we get there may be different, but we all need to get somewhere. And I think that having a center right smack in the middle of South St. Pete that's easily accessible, whether you're coming from North County, you get off on 275.
It's actually very easy to get to.
Or are you coming down from, you know, Botley Park, as they say, you know the spot, you know the area. And now we all know that there is a building there that supports what we all do as a community, where we can go and share our ideas. If I can throw something out there for you, Carl, to take back is, you know, maybe we could have an idea box or somewhere where people in the community can say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, that kind of thing.
It is the evolution of our space. So hold on, stay tuned, because we want to make sure that that piece right there, the suggestion box, the modern suggestion box, is automated.
Yeah.
And so we have ideas on the highest and best use of technology in that space and how you might capture your ideas and then get connected in that suggestion box to other people that are inside the box, if you will.
Yeah.
Remember, we are in the movement building phase of our existence. We realize that far beyond the address, although it's important right now, if neighborhoods and citizens at every level, if sectors at every level are convening and gathering around these particular themes, and we have the beginnings of they can influence systems and governments, et cetera, then you have a long-lasting legacy for this address and its mission.
That is amazing. I have to say we've run out of time, if you can believe that.
It was wonderful.
I do have one thing that I did want to say. The National Forum of Black Public Administrators
will be in our building.
Will be coming to the Equity Center, and we're going to have a Women's Summit on Equity. And it is being the spring of 2020, and we're really excited about that, to talk about women and equity and women in leadership and where we are as a woman in today's culture. So, yes, we put on that equity lens.
And we are excited to be there. Awesome.
And for your listeners, please go to our website at healthystpete.org and continue to check the website for all kind of activities. Healthystpete.org. And because we have Speakers Inspire, we have all kind of events coming up, which we know your listeners will enjoy attending. Otherwise, if you have personal questions, please call me again at 727-235-8113. That's 727-235-8113.
And he actually answers the phone.
I know, it's amazing.
Yes, thank you so much, Allison. Thank you.
So thank you both for joining us today. And check out also stpeteinnovationdistrict.com. That's stpeteinnovationdistrict.com for information on upcoming events and to subscribe to our newsletter. Have a great day. We'll be right back.